Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Okay, hello everyone. This is the Publicity Genie Radio Show. We are waiting for Annette, who is having some technical issues.
Can you hear me?
But I am. There we go, Annette. I was just going to introduce everything, so we're good to go.
Hi.
And I will turn it over to you,
morning.
And Julie's on the line.
Oh my goodness. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Publicity Genie Show. And it wouldn't be a day with technology if something hasn't gone wrong. I am would love to welcome here today to join me is Julie Mason, who is a LinkedIn expert, often known as the social media princess, because she just has the innate ability to make the world of social media just so simple and teaches you how to be strategic, profitable, and most of all, fun. Julie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, Annette, it's delightful to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for persisting through the technology problems this morning, and it will be well worth it, I am sure.
I have no doubt, my love.
Now, Julie, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know a bit about you because I've seen you around the traps, but for our listeners, I'd really love to hear how you became the social media princess.
Okay, so it's like all things, Annette, it's a bit of an evolution. So, you know, I have spent most of my career in traditional sales and in that have done what most people, you know, cringe at, which is 15 years of door-to-door cold calling. And about 12 years ago, I noticed that there was this significant change in the way people were responding when I was cold calling or door knocking. And I did most of my cold calling face-to-face. I didn't do the telemarketing. I actually literally went out and knocked on people's doors on various, you know, residential, commercial and industrial roles that I had over that time frame. And as I said, there was this real shift around 12 years ago in the way people were open to my approach. I'd had a lot of success beforehand, and I was aware that there was a big disruption in the marketplace with the internet and how that was changing things. And I went, okay, well, I really need to up level and learn more about this whole internet marketing side of things. And so I invested quite a lot of time and money learning everything to do with internet and how it worked. And I remember I was actually talking to a client the other day, and I was saying, and she's saying, I'm so frustrated trying to learn this. And I said, you know, it just threw me back to when I was learning to build my very first WordPress website. And I sat up till 2 o'clock in the morning just trying to get the domain name register across to the hosting account. And finally at 2:05 in the morning, it worked. And I remember shouting for joy and how exciting that was, you know, that I'd made a breakthrough. And so I learned a lot about building websites and SEO and in the course of that social media. When I came across social media, I literally stopped. I could see the enormous potential it offered and how I could use it to generate leads and sales. And so that's kind of a bit of the evolution. I originally started it. And we've built hundreds of websites for people, and we did SEO, et cetera. And then people kept asking me how I was building my business through social media, because I literally haven't spent a single brass razoo on traditional advertising. All of my business has come through social media. And so they kept asking me how I did it. So I started teaching, and then they nicknamed me the social media princess. And I kind of went, well, that's a bit of fun. We'll stick with that. And then since it's evolved into the last 3 years where I just specialize in teaching LinkedIn, so I'm considered now Australia's leading LinkedIn sales strategist.
That's a pretty incredible title to have. Not just being a princess, but to be linked in the, like, princess is pretty cool. Come on. But to be
thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Leading strategist. I know, I bet it is. And I do know that you do love shoes. So you do have royal shoes. I have seen them.
Yes, I'm well known for my shoes nowadays, yes.
That's not a bad thing to be known for, I think.
True.
Like the way that social media is evolving, how long do you see LinkedIn as being, you know, one of the go-to social media platforms that people can use to build their businesses?
Yeah, look, if I had a magic ball and could predict the future, I'd probably be a multi-millionaire by now. But here's the thing, guys. Essentially, you know, Microsoft purchased LinkedIn last year for $26.5 billion, and that deal closed at December 2016. So I can't see LinkedIn going anywhere anytime soon. You know, they wouldn't have made a big investment like that if it's about to fold over. Here's where I think social media will continue to evolve, and that's about bringing people together in a connected environment that has similar interests. So Facebook, for example, which is the behemoth of social media, and everyone kind of fawns over it, and it's great, and it's where people go to socialize, where they go to catch up with their friends first and foremost. Can business be done on it? Absolutely, and it's one of my favorite places to do business as well. However, LinkedIn has a very different mindset. People who go on there are literally going on to LinkedIn with the intention to find out more about industry insights, or they're looking for somebody who can help them in something. So they're literally going there with a business intention. And one of the interesting things that people say to me quite regularly is that they don't find LinkedIn sexy. And I think that comes down to the fact that a lot of people still view it as this resume holding site. You know, if you're looking for a job, that's where you post your resume. But it is so much more exciting than that, and it has so much more to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really comes back, if we go back to the where you began from, which is cold calling, door to door, which I could just see millions of people curling their toes up and going, I don't want to do that. But at the end of the day, it's about relationships, isn't it? And that's what LinkedIn is probably better able to do than perhaps, you know, Twitter and Pinterest. You can connect more, can't you?
You can. You know, I think, well, Pinterest is really, it's not really a social platform, more about the collation and discovery of items or objects of desire is kind of what Pinterest is. It has a social element, but it really isn't set up to see what your friends are doing. It's set up to find things that you like. Twitter has got some really great benefits. I'm not a huge fan of it myself, only because you really need to tweet quite frequently to actually get really good traction on there. And I'm not a big person for doing massive amounts of posts. I like to build, as you say, I like to build relationships. And I think that's where LinkedIn really comes to the fore, because you can build these amazing relationships with other people in business, and literally, you know, it gives you the ability to see who they are a little bit more around their business. You can always cross-reference with something like Facebook to quality, as opposed to just, you know, this is what I do kind of thing. And that's always a good strategy. If you're like me and a bit of a stalker, you can always cross-reference that. But essentially, it is a great relationship marketing tool. And I think, you know, people, as we've said for years and years, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. They don't do business with a logo. So, you know, use your personal profile to allow people to see the value that you offer them and how you can help them, and that will stand you in really good stead.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I often say to people, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I've been noticing a lot on LinkedIn. I just celebrated a work anniversary, and I've been getting a lot of, you know, pre-scripted congratulations. And for me, that kind of turned me off because it says, well, you haven't really spent any time. Like, do you really mean that your congratulations, or are you just doing it because it popped up and prompted you? What are your feelings around that? Because if we're going back to relationships, if you're trying to build a relationship with me so we do business or collaborate, whatever that is, I kind of want to know you care about me.
Well, that's a really good question, and not one that I get asked very often. And I've got here's my thoughts on it. First of all, a lot of people who go onto LinkedIn simply don't know how to use it. It is quite a deep and complex website, and so people get quite lost on there and they have a bit of a stab at it. So what I often say to people is to reserve judgment around why you think people have done it the way they have, because they may not know any better. And if you know better, that's great. But if they don't know any better, don't, you know, punish them for that. There are many people who won't take the time to even wish you congratulations or happy birthday or whatever it might be. So those who do, even if it is the templated one, my advice is to go back with a nice thank you response that encourages them to open the conversation further. Again, this is about relationships. So think of it this way, because essentially the scenario that you're talking about, Annette, is like going to a school dance. And a boy finally gets the courage up to walk across the room and ask you for a dance, but he hasn't asked you quite the way you wanted to be asked. So you go, no, right? And you miss out on an opportunity to dance. Does it make sense?
Oh, my God, that's an excellent point. And I'm always very gracious, so I always go back and say thank you very much. But
cool.
You know, we live in a world where we're really quick to make judgments, and, you know, like
we
you
are.
Only need to say, you know, an offhand remark to somebody who says it to somebody else, and then all of a sudden you're person non grata. So that's a really great point for people to remember, is that we're all really kind of just learning here, because these platforms pop up, you know, we skirt around the outside of them for, you know, maybe a year, 2 years, until someone says, okay, this is really important. You need to learn how. So I suppose it's a bit like riding a bike, isn't it? You're going to fall off a few times and skin your knees.
Absolutely. Here's a tip, though. When you go back to say thank you to them for wishing you congratulations, you know, I had the same thing at the beginning of the year. I had a 7-year anniversary for the Social Media Princess business, and I got a 1,000, you know, thank yous from my list, which was great. Well, not quite 1,000, but it felt like that because I was going through hundreds and hundreds of the damn things. And so I just created a little template that basically went, hey, whatever their name was, thanks so much. 7 years goes by in a blink of an eye, and I really appreciate your best wishes. How's things with you? And so it asks the question and it opens the conversation. And just from doing that, I generated a heap of leads coming through just from simply sending back that simple little question tacked on the bottom of it. And it gave people the feeling, again, that I care about them. And again, that's that whole like, know, and trust thing. And it builds that trust, it builds that relationship.
Hey, that's a really good point, is that we often just see all these messages and go, oh, yes, that's nice, thank you. But what you're talking about is opening up a conversation so that it goes beyond, oh, you know, hey, congratulations, or that's really nice, or good on you, happy birthday, to actually talking to people.
Correct.
What is
Julie,
you do tons of public speaking, and I've been really lucky to see you quite a few times. And if you ever get the chance, audience, to see Julie Mason in the flesh talking about LinkedIn, then I definitely recommend you to go and see her. What is your number? No, let's not go number one tip, because that's just not enough. What's your top three tips for those who are venturing into LinkedIn territory to maybe make it a little easier for them?
Okay, great. I love three. That works really well for me. Thanks, Annette. would be, first and foremost, build a really solid foundation. And what I mean by that is everything hinges off your personal profile. So if your personal profile has very little information, or it's written all about you, so when you read your summary or your headline, it's got I am, I have, I did, I whatever, then it needs to be rewritten. You want it to appeal to your ideal target audience of who you want to attract. So that's regardless of whether you're job hunting or you're looking for leads for your business, essentially. I like to call it activating your silent salesperson, because your headline and your summary can actually draw people into you and allow people to see how exactly you can help them. And it's what I call part of attraction marketing. So it's the first step. Get your profile sorted out. Make it look awesome, you know, for your ideal prospect to come on there and go, oh my goodness, she can help me with that. That's fantastic. So that's the first step. The second step is to connect with your ideal target market, but connect with trust, because the biggest question most people have on LinkedIn that comes up, it's one of the most common questions I get asked, and that is, why are all these random people connecting with me? I don't know them. What should I do with them? And so if you're just sending out a standard, you know, hey, I'd like you to be part of my professional network on LinkedIn, you know, message to connect, then you've got no reason. Again, it's kind of what you were saying a little earlier when people are using the default congrats on, you know, thank on your work history. It's a default template that LinkedIn have there for you. But if you really want to make an impression and you want people to accept your connection request, then personalize it. Don't spam. In other words, don't try and sell them on the connection request. In fact, you don't want to do that at all. I don't sell on LinkedIn at all, and yet I make thousands of dollars off it every week. I build relationships on LinkedIn and I sell off LinkedIn. In other words, I'll take them to a phone call or a meeting and sell them on there. But I won't sell on LinkedIn. So what you need to do when you're sending out a connection request to somebody who you would like to have as a prospect or as a client, for example, is to answer the question, why should they connect with you? And to do that, you simply need to give them a reason that you have something in common. For example, Annette, you and I are both based in Brisbane. So if I was not connected to you, which we are on LinkedIn, but for the example here, if I wanted to reach out and connect with you, I would simply say, hey, Annette, I noticed that we're both based in Brisbane and I'm trying to get to know a few more people in the local area and saw that you've got some awesome skills in publicity. Love to get to know you a bit further. Hope you accept my invite. Cheers, Julie. And so it answers the question of why I've reached out to you, because you don't know me from a bar of soap, for example. And then, you know, it senses the intention behind it is one to build a relationship rather than one to push my products on you. So
that's a really good point
to accept that.
I have a lot of people say, like you just said, I get all these randoms and I've got no idea why they want to connect with me. So there you go. So if you want to establish a good connection, explain why.
I guess that comes to tip number three then, Annette, because if you're receiving all of these random connection requests, because people simply, as I said, they simply don't know how to use it. The statistics are that only 11% of people on LinkedIn, of the 445, actually know how to use LinkedIn effectively, which means 89% of us are stumbling around in the dark to some degree, right? So we've got to kind of, if you're listening to this podcast, you're starting to get into that 11% just by listening to this radio show. That it's that simple, right? Because these are simple things that can make a massive difference. So if you're receiving invites from people that you don't know, then again, I ask you to suspend judgment. Simply go and have a look at their profile and decide if they're a good fit, you know, in terms of what you want. And what I mean by good fit is, for example, I've got 5,300 connections on LinkedIn or thereabouts. And I probably already have 300 or 400 people from India who provide SEO services, right? I don't really need to add to that kind of area anymore. No offense to anybody from India and no offense to anyone who does SEO, but I kind of have my quota of that, you know. So in reality, I will look at them and go, yeah, okay, I don't know if I can help them or not yet, but yes, they tick all my boxes in terms of being, you know, a non-axe murderer, for example. And then I will send them a message after I accept their invitation and say, hey, you know, whatever their name is. Hey, Joe, thanks so much for reaching out and connecting. I look forward to getting to know you through LinkedIn. And this is the kicker. Out of curiosity, what inspired you to connect with me and how? Cheers, Julie. Because again, it's about opening up that conversation. It's about finding out why they asked to connect with you. They found you on LinkedIn for a reason. You don't know what their motivation is at this point in time. So I go along with my saying that my mum said to me when I was young, give people enough rope to hang themselves. If they do, then you can unfriend them or unconnect with them on LinkedIn. Right. But if they are genuinely wanting to connect with you and build a relationship with you and you're just deleting them because you don't know them, then where's the value in that? You could have actually lost thousands of dollars of business over the years just from doing that.
I think kind of shows in some way we're all a bit cynical and wary of people connecting with us out of the blue, which I know I often get. I don't know whether accused is the right word, but of talking to anybody. So I'll sit at a bus stop and I'll talk to anybody. So I connect with most people on LinkedIn and have a chat with them. But most people don't do that. It almost goes against, I don't know, we're inherently private people, and I think the social media is pushing a lot of us out of our comfort zone that, hey, if you really want to build a business now, you just can't sit back and wait for the phone to ring. You've got to be proactive.
I didn't know a time when you could sit back and wait for the phone to ring. I would love it.
No,
if we could have an entrepreneurial seizure, hang our shingle out the front door and wait for people to turn up with thousands of dollars in their hands for us. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
That would be my nirvana.
But like you and I work in a similar space. We work with people who want to stand out and get noticed. And
yeah.
I find a lot of people don't have the patience to see these strategies through. Is that, you know, they almost think you send one media release and all of a sudden you're going to be picked up by, you know, a big national TV program, or they're going to send one message through LinkedIn and they're going to make that big deal snap and it's done. What do you think about that, Julie? You work with a ton of people.
It's a really good point. And as you say, it's across the board, whether you're doing publicity or whether you're doing social media or whether you're advertising in a magazine, it doesn't matter really. It comes down to having an attitude that this is a marathon, not a sprint. You know, you need to showcase your value. It's really interesting. I did a Facebook Live last night or yesterday afternoon, actually, because I saw all these friends on Facebook who were being added to a group that said, you know, hey, join this group. It's got see who's viewed your Facebook profile, which actually is a malicious app that will then hack your profile and it causes all kinds of problems. So I did this Facebook Live yesterday and it was really interesting to people how to protect themselves on Facebook in particular. And a number of people who shared it and said, you know, Julie is my trusted go-to source for all things social media. I trust Julie, or whatever it is. And it's because over the years I've delivered great content that is really rich, that helps people enormously. And so therefore it builds that trust. But if you just did one post and hope that would bring you the windfall, then you're sadly mistaken. You really need to, you know, develop that reputation out there as being somebody who cares about being somebody who has great knowledge and is willing to share it. And it doesn't limit your sales. In fact, it improves your sales, which is what a lot of people have, you know, a counterintuitive idea on. So, you know, all of this knowledge that you have as a business owner, and there's, you know, scads of it with every single person, share it, get it out there, send some of those tips out. In fact, LinkedIn, just coming back to LinkedIn, they tell us that 60% of LinkedIn users go on to LinkedIn looking for industry insights, which is an enormously great tip for everybody listening, because it tells them that, hey, what do you post on LinkedIn? Well, then post some tips and insights around your industry, around what it is that you do, because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for those people who will get out of their shell, who will share some of their knowledge and showcase what they do. And you then start to position yourself as this go-to person, this authority in your space.
That's right. I think, is that what you mean by counterintuitive? Because we, you know, as people and as business people, we want to keep our secrets close, because then we think that that makes us more alluring and more in demand. Whereas I remember when a mentor said to me, give away your best stuff. And I'm like, what? Really? Like, what have I got to sell them? But, you know, like after 4 years, I find that people come to me now and they ask me for help and advice and guidance and business, because I've spent that time sharing almost without, like, I don't want to sound like, you know, Pollyanna, you know, angel here, but without expectation that I'm getting something in return, just because, you know, hey, use stuff I know, maybe it'll help you.
That's exactly right. And I love that you've used the words without expectation. It's what I teach my clients, my mentoring clients, is to serve at the highest level without attachment to the outcome. You know, in other words, that, you know, you may get some, you may not, you know, in terms of clientele, but you serve without expectation, you know, and you serve at the highest level. And there's another saying I love when it comes to sale. A sale is, in terms of sales, because I've been in sales for such a long time, you know, a sale is not something you pursue. A sale is something that happens to you when you're serving others. And I think that really sums up my, you know, I guess, intentions around how I work. And it sounds very similar to how you work as well, Annette.
Yeah, like, and you said the word twice, serve. And that's something that I think that we've almost lost, that servant leadership mindset, that it's really not all about us. And if I go back to something you said before about your profile, when you start the I am, I did, I do, look at me, this is how I do it, or this is all about me, then it's not about anybody else anymore, because you've kind of closed your arms around yourself to say, you know, hey, I'm the most important person in this relationship here.
That's absolutely right. You do, and it closes off the conversation. What else is there to say then? You know, so people, you know, your clients don't want to know necessarily about you. They want to know how you can help them. And so they want to hear more about themselves. It's really a funny little world that we live in, because everybody feels like the world revolves around them. And to a degree it does. But when it comes to sales, you've got to recognize that the world revolves around your client. And if you want to attract them, you need to let them see you understand that, you know, to some degree. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about price. You know, I'm looking at the prices of my competitors in the marketplace, and I said, why are you doing that? And they said, because that gives me a guideline. I said, sure, but people don't buy on price. That's the fourth element of what they will buy on. Their first one is service. So if you want to stand out in the marketplace, serve at the highest level to your clients, and they'll spend whatever they need to secure your services. Will you get every single person as a client? No. Do you want every single person as a client? Hell no. There are some clients that you want to sack, you know, because they suck your time and energy. They're what I call that, the energy vampires in your business. Mm-hmm. They just exhaust you. They take 80% of your time and bring in less than 20% of the revenue. And they will suck you for everything you've got to give and still want more. And you want the clients that respect your knowledge, respect your time, respect the value that you bring, pay on time, you know, attract those. And the only way to do that is to get rid of the scarcity mindset and to start, you know, really focusing on an abundance mindset.
I love that, Julie. I love the way that you think. That's amazing.
Thank you. That's why I get up every morning and I do an abundance meditation every morning, because I want to start my day with the mindset of abundance, that instead of the world is conspiring against me, the world is conspiring to do me great things. What a great way to start your day.
That's, yeah, and isn't it true that our success is really an inside job? It's like you can have the best marketing strategies, you can have the best mentors, you can have the best message, but if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in the good that can happen, then you're on the back foot the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I posted something this morning that said, and it gives me goosebumps because we're talking about it now, is I wake up every morning to see the possibilities in the day. And it's like I don't wake up and go, oh, I've got to do this. But I wake up and go, what is there out there for me to do today to achieve, to help, to, you know, just take one more step forward.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's something that I've done for a very long time, and that goes back into, you know, my personal history back when I was 20, and I had a chemical imbalance in my body that caused, you know, quite a few, you know, issues, you know, health wise, and it shattered lots and lots of relationships, because, you know, I'd be, you know, absolutely happy one day and then depressed and can't get out of bed for the next 3 days. And, you know, really, you know, struggled through that for quite a few years. And I spent quite a lot of time in therapy and working on, you know, my inner self in reality. And essentially, I remember when I was about 24, 25, I think, around there. And I remember having this epiphany in the middle of my kitchen one night. And I was arguing with my husband over some trivial thing. It might have been about cooking. I can't remember. I just remember where I was standing. And we were having this argument. And I stopped in the middle of the argument and I realized, hey, I have a choice about how I respond to this. I have a choice to be angry, or I have a choice to be happy, you know, because I worked through all of these issues and finally come out the other end. And I was still in that pattern of, you know, believing that it wasn't a choice, that, you know, it was just something foisted onto me by my body, but it wasn't. It was a choice at that point. And so from that moment on, I realized that every day I have a choice to wake up happy. I have a choice about how I respond to things. I have a choice about my attitude to others. I have a choice about how I view the world in general. I can look at the news and get totally sucked into the horror story that it delivers us at 6 o'clock every night, or I can choose to focus on all the good. And in fact, I had a conversation with a guy on Tuesday evening last week, and he said, you know, what do you think about all the spam on LinkedIn? And I said, what spam? And he said, my news feed's filled with it. And I said, isn't that interesting? And he said, why is that? And I said, well, when you focus on something, like if all you want to see is spam, that's all you'll see. But if you want to focus on what's good on LinkedIn, then that's all you'll see. And I said, I don't see the spam because I kind of brush over it. I'm looking at all the good stuff instead. And it does come down to what you want to see, what you want to allow in your life, whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's in your relationships or wherever. You have a choice.
So true is that there is, when you hear people say, oh, but I don't have a choice. And it's like, well, you do or you don't. You can or you can't. Or like you said, you see what you want to see. That's very profound.
Thank you.
If we can go back to LinkedIn for a second, something just came up for me while we were talking about what you're seeing. Maybe you can give some advice, because I see a lot of people complaining about this, is people using LinkedIn to prospect for multi-level marketing businesses. And it's funny because a lot of them will be, I, this is what it did for me. And at no stage is anyone saying, this is what it can do to help you. What's your recommendation on responding to those? Because I think I probably get two or three of those a day.
Sure. I get hit up quite a bit on that on LinkedIn for different multi-level marketing companies. And I have first of all, I want to say to everybody who's in multi-level marketing out there, congratulations, because, you know, it was how I started my sales career 25 years ago, and I did 9 years in a multi-level marketing company and lived on commission only for 9 years and had really great success from that in that time frame, and I loved it. And it was the foundational stuff that I learned about how to sell and how to build relationships. It is unfortunate nowadays that many people who are in multi-level marketing come from that, you know, that very pushy presentation of their product first off, or their business plan first off, as opposed to building a relationship. But here's what I say when people invite me to connect with them. I'll often accept, because at some point I know they won't stay in multi-level marketing. It's not, generally speaking, a forever job. And I don't mean to be, you know, discriminatory or offensive to anybody who is in multi-level marketing. It's just that I've been around this for a long, long time, and people go through changes. You might change multi-level marketing companies, but you won't stay with the same one for the rest of your life. It usually seems to be a bit of a transition thing. So I always connect with people with a long-term view of that relationship rather than the short term of where they are at the moment, because they're a person, and they're at some point in time there might be the opportunity that I can help that person, whether it's right now or whether it's down the track. And the second point is, you don't know who they know that could potentially help you. So when it comes to people asking me if I would be interested in doing multi-level marketing, and I buy a lot of multi-level marketing products, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to join their company and be a consultant or a you know, sales rep for it, but I will support them way. And I think, you know, if you've got friends who are in multi-level marketing, see if you can support them in that sort of environment rather than necessarily join in the company.
But that could almost go for any business, though, couldn't it, Julie?
Absolutely, it does. And it's not just multi-level marketing people that hit me up to do business with them. It's a whole range of different people that do that. And simply because they don't know the etiquette around LinkedIn or how to really do relationship marketing correctly.
So it all comes back to just being patient and giving people a little bit of room to learn, isn't it? Is that we're just too quick to jump and go, I'm outraged. You've upset me.
God, we are such finicky people nowadays, really. It doesn't take, incidences of road rage and everything. We've got this hairline trigger. You know, we're trigger happy with our responses instead of being, okay, you know, that's okay. They can do that. I'm not going to judge them for that. I mean, imagine, Annette, if you and I, every time we spoke to somebody, judged us for, you know, what we did and felt that we were pushing our business down their throat, right? We would probably never talk again to somebody.
No,
well, actually, I know you and I pretty well. We would still talk. We'll talk underwater and upside down with marbles in our mouth, no doubt. But But having said that, we are just trigger happy on why we don't want to reach out to people. And yet, we don't give people the long-term view. We don't give people, you know, the opportunity to correct themselves. We don't even tell them what's upsetting us. We just cut them off at the pass. That's no way to build a relationship.
No. Oh, goodness, Julie, you're so right. And you see it happen so often. And you'll be at a networking event, which is another great way to build connections and certainly build relationships where people go, oh, no, I'm not talking to that person because they did this to me 10 years ago. Have you told
yeah.
them that? No, I never want to speak to them again. It's like, well, how are you expected to learn and grow if we're not helping each other learn and grow?
Correct. Really, really key
and I wonder,
thing. Thank you.
From your perspective, and look, if we're going back to that servant leadership attitude, is that you're damn good at what you do, and I'm fairly certain that you command big bucks for the work that you do with people because you've just got this insight and knowledge, and you know how LinkedIn works and how social media works, yet you give so much of your knowledge away. You know, if we're going back to give away your best stuff, I see you talking at networking and you give away these tips on, you know, and I see people charging big bucks to just do what you're telling them to do for the price of a ticket to a networking event. Is that something that you learnt through your door-to-door network marketing, or is it something that you've honed over the years as you've watched how business has evolved?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. And I'm not sure where it came from originally, Annette. I think, you know, if I look back over the time and I go right back to when I, you know, it's who I am, actually. It is. I'm looking back and I'm going through this, you know, movie of my life and looking back to where I was. It's who I am. It's what I've done even since I was a little kid. I've always wanted to help others and I've always wanted to serve. So it is just who I am, and it's a natural part of – I wouldn't be able to stop it if I tried, I don't think. In fact, one of the – I did a survey of my clients recently to ask them, you know, their feedback on myself, you know, and to get their perception of me. And one of the things that they said when I asked what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses, it was two funny things that came up in my weaknesses. One was her weaknesses are shoes, which you pointed out earlier in this talk. And the other one
You're
was
well known.
That I'm well known. And the other one is that I'm too generous with my information. And so even my clients are telling me that I give too much. Yeah, they see it actually as a little weakness, which for me, I see it as a bit of a strength, you know. And it's interesting people's perception on that. Do I give too much? I think sometimes, yes, I do. And I know that I need to be mindful of that. But in terms of where does this come from, I think it's just who I am. You know, and it's the values of who I am as a person, and those values, looking back over my entire life, haven't changed a great deal. So it's what I value most.
And that's really essential in business. I know when I've been through mentoring, one coach took me through what are your values, and I remember looking at him and going, "What? Why do I need to do this? Like, seriously?" But it was an interesting process because it helped me realise what my strengths and weaknesses are from a personal perspective before going into the marketplace. That sounds really cold, going into the marketplace.
Yeah.
But understanding who you are can help you with all facets of business, can't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think doing a values exercise of finding out what your top values are is really important, and it allows you to understand what motivates you as well. So, for example, fun is one of my top five values. Family is my number one value. So money, actually, interestingly enough, even though I'm one of the highest paid LinkedIn trainers around the world, money is not the number one. In fact, it doesn't even reach my top five values. Many
Isn't
other
that
things
interesting?
Too, like integrity or honesty, they're in my top five values, but money is not in my top five values.
I find a lot of people in particularly small business, money isn't their motivator and their driver for doing what they do. Their motivate and their drive is helping people. Mm. But then they get stuck on how to reach more people.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we've got these amazing tools like LinkedIn and Facebook where you can, you know, connect with people and build your tribe. I advise everyone, you know, to start to connect with more people, both on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Of course, I love LinkedIn. So, you know, build that connection. You can't do great business. You can't do a multi-million dollar business or even a six-figure business on 100 connections, people. You need to open your connections up. You need to reach out. You need to suspend that judgment. You need to have conversations with people. You know, does it mean that you need to have, you know, coffee meetings with people? Well, if that's your thing for networking, then do so. But also be mindful that there are other ways of doing it that are a little bit more time effective, like LinkedIn, for example, where you can have conversations that are online that are just as valuable as going and meeting with somebody for coffee. And we kind of rule that out, you know.
And there's things like Skype and Zoom and Google Hangouts where you can actually see people and eyeball them without having to meet them. And they can be in another country and another place and you can still build a connection there, can't you?
Absolutely.
Let's go back to LinkedIn because I know that's your passion and your strength, although you have many strengths, but at the moment. When people are talking about social media, the question often comes up, when is the best time to post? When's the best time to post on Facebook, Instagram, blah, blah, blah? Is there a best time on LinkedIn if you're building that basis of relationships? Should you be posting every day? Should you be doing it twice a day? What's the general consensus, Julie?
Sure, great question. So essentially, you want to be on there when people are on LinkedIn, and we don't really have the definitive stats as to what that is for Australia. I mean, they can narrow it down to a bit of a time frame, but my experience is that most people will check out LinkedIn in the morning between 7 and 9 in the morning, and they'll definitely check it out in the evening between 6 and 9 at night. In fact, I do quite a bit between those two time frames, and I find that works really well. And if you want to do things on a Saturday, like a published post, you know, which is like the or they now have just renamed it to article, publish an article on LinkedIn, which is kind of like a blog post length type of post on LinkedIn rather than just a standard update. And do one of those on a Saturday morning, because it's like nowadays LinkedIn is like reading the Saturday paper for a lot of business owners. They read it on a Saturday morning. So that's when they've got a little bit more time to spend. Having said that, you know, posting in terms of content for, you know, status updates, how many times do you do it a week? I would say whatever you do, do it consistently. So for the first 5 years of my business, going back from 2009, roughly, 2010, I was posting twice a day, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 5 years. People would be exhausted by thinking about that. And yet, we've
got a rest.
Great. Yeah. Well, you know, people say, how do you get to be where you're at now, where people come to you and ask you, honey, I did my hard yards, you know, I've built a reputation and it took that to do that, right? So, you know, you can't just kind of put one, as you said earlier, you can't just put one post out there and hope that the world will drop at your feet. I did my hard yards of posting very early on, and I dug in deep, and I used great tools like Hootsuite that allow me to schedule it out ahead of time, and other tools on Facebook that pre-schedule it for you. And essentially, whatever you do, if you're going to do 3 posts a week, say on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, do 3 posts a week, but be consistent about it. Don't just go, I'll do 3 this week and 1 next week and, you know, none for the next month, and then, you know, you'll pop up again and then, you know, you're a bit hodgepodge. Be consistent.
Is it worth posting into groups? So, like, you write a great article, and, like, you just share it through your update. Should you be sharing your posts into groups?
Absolutely. Provided that the post is relevant to the conversation of the group. So if you're posting something that's, you know, specifically for accountants and you're posting them to a lawyer's group, it may not work, right? So be really targeted about what groups you post what into. And before you just go and join a ton of groups and then slather it with your conversations, always listen to the tone of the conversations in the group first. Find out what they're looking for, what gets the most, and read the posts that are in there. So that's how you listen to the tone. You read what's going on, you have a look at what's getting the most engagement, and you kind of make that assessment about what people need. And that will give you some really great, you know, information to work on with your content as well.
So it comes back, understand your target audience, because you'll alienate people if you give them what they don't need and they don't want.
Absolutely. Perfectly said, so, Annette.
Oh, thank you. When we're talking about posting, how is it different to posting on Facebook? Is it the same type of stuff, or are we looking to, you know, kind of up our game when it comes to posting on LinkedIn?
Okay, so I'm trying to come at this from 2 different spaces for you, because a lot of people think LinkedIn is this very corporate, intellectual space to reside, whereas Facebook's kind of like turning up to a friend's barbecue with your thongs and your shorts. You can be a bit more relaxed on there, right? And so when they come to post on LinkedIn, they get all freaked out about it. Made a mistake in my spelling or whatever. Well, we're all human, so be kind to yourself. Chill out a little bit. If it makes you feel any better, what I suggest to everybody, and I'm sure, Annette, you would suggest this to your publicity clients as well, is that speak in a conversational tone. Don't try and be intellectual for the sake of it. I remember reading somebody's summary that they'd sent through, a client had sent through for critique, and it had all these really complex sentences and very intellectual, large, long-lettered words in it. And I said, who is this that you know, who wrote this? And they said, well, it's me. And I said, that's not you at all. Who are you pretending to be here? And they said, well, I'm trying to be more intelligent for the LinkedIn community. I said, well, no, just be yourself. Don't try and pretend to be something that you're not just because you think that it will fit that particular area. So my advice is that whatever you post, be authentic in that. So be conversational as well. And you know, there's all different types of ways you can post on LinkedIn as there are on Facebook. You know, you can do short posts or long posts, or you can post a photo and, you know, whatever that may be. But, you know, clearly, LinkedIn is not the place to put pictures of your lunch and pictures of other stuff. You know, try and be mindful of the fact that the psychology of this, you know, platform is to do business. So try and be relevant to that. But it doesn't mean you can't have a sense of fun. And if you want to see what I mean by sense of fun, go and check out my last published post that's on my profile, because it says what. You know, it's a really cheeky version of getting my message across. And it was really quite funny because the president of the Australian Marketing Institute messaged me and said, I loved that post. It was so good and such great value. And he shared it out to his network. So, you know, it's about having a personality. It's about being totally authentic. And that's what people will resonate to and what they'll want to connect more of with you.
Absolutely, because it's all about know, like, and trust. And if when mm-hmm. they meet you face-to-face, they're like, oh, hang on, you're nothing like you sound on your LinkedIn posts or on your Facebook posts, you lose that connection, don't you? Because then you're not being authentic and not being real.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think authenticity is so important in today's marketplace. Don't try and – I love what Oprah said. She didn't succeed trying to be Barbara Walters. She did her best work being herself. So just be yourself. You can. There's only one of you. Be the best version of you possible. No one can beat that, you know?
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, like when we look at all of us specialists and experts and gurus and whatever you want to call us, is sometimes I think we make it all a little bit too complicated, don't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be as hard as what we've made it out in our heads.
Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
Get your foundations right. Connect with people on a real and authentic level. Share your best stuff and ask questions and communicate.
Absolutely. That's a great summary.
I think so. Hey, we could have just done that whole show in 30 seconds.
I'm there pretty sure, though, Nanette, they wouldn't have gotten quite the value that they did in 60 minutes.
No, they wouldn't have. Now, if people want to connect with you, or because I know that you've recently launched a new program, so why don't we just touch on that before we finish up for the day? Because listeners, if you need help with LinkedIn, you've just listened to Julie for almost an hour and she knows her stuff. Julie, how can they work with you? What have you got on the table at the moment?
Well, I would suggest, Annette, the best thing that people can do from this call is to go to my website at juliemason.com.au and join in for my free webinars and tips. And it's my insider newsletter where I give away even more great stuff on a regular basis. So go and join my email list and I will be able to give you some great tips of how you can see me speak, how you can join. About any upcoming things that I'm doing, which we've got some really exciting things happening this year. And I'd love for you to be part of my community and I'll, you know, share my best stuff with you.
Awesome. Have you got any big speaking gigs or trips planned this year around Australia or overseas?
We've got a few big gigs coming up, but I can't talk much about them just yet. So watch this.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Join that insiders circle newsletter and we'll keep you all abreast of those exciting things.
Oh, Julie. Oh my goodness. Okay, guys. Well, now you know what to do. So go look for Julie, juliemason.com.au. Sign up so you can get the good stuff and find out what this amazing announcement is going to be. Julie Mason, it has been an absolute honour having you on the Publicity Genie show this morning. You have shared so much and I'm truly grateful, and I certainly hope that our listeners have like reveled in the gold that you've shared.
Thank you, Annette. It's been a joy and I look forward to connecting. By the way, guys, connect with me on LinkedIn and with Annette as well. Check us out on LinkedIn. We've been talking about it today. So I would welcome anyone to connect with me on there. And remember, practice sending a personal message. Tell us that you heard us on the Publicity Genie radio show and that you've reached out to connect. We'd love to hear from you on there too. So that would be a great thing to do. And you can always connect with me on Facebook or follow my Facebook business page, Julie Mason. You'll find me if you look for that. And, I'm always open to connecting with people and getting to know you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great idea, Julie. We'd love to hear from you on LinkedIn, so you can find me, Annette Densham, which is my name. That's fantastic. And Julie Mason on LinkedIn, and let's practice some of the things that we've learnt today, and I'll post some of those updates. Julie's come out with some really gold
Julie, thank you very much. Until next time, everyone, bye-bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
You still there, Julie?
I am indeed, my love. Is that okay?
Well, well done. Thank you. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed
You're very
that.
You're welcome. Good. Me too.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Oh,
well, how are you feeling, honey?
My job.
You doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right. I'm sucking it up. I'm still a bit queasy and incredibly tired, but that's just the way that it is. I maybe needed one more lesson not to eat takeaway food. So that was a hard lesson to learn, but I actually haven't had that happen for quite. Oh,
yeah.
It's horrible. It's been quite a few years. Since that's happened to me, because I am incredibly careful, but someone else bought me lunch and I forgot to reinforce to them that make sure there's no avocado anywhere near my food. So it is what it is. And actually, I said to someone the other day, as much as I am so far behind now in my work, it was actually kind of nice just to go, I'm just going to rest. I haven't done that in years where I've just allowed myself to rest. So it's fantastic. Well, I better let you go about your day. Thank you so much for making the time for me this morning. I really do appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, honey. Not a problem at all. You managed to get me on a day where I could squeeze it in, so you're lucky. The rest of the week was screwed, but you got me today.
Perfect. Well, I'll see you on Wednesday.
You will indeed, hon. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Until then, I'll see your beautiful face.
Ciao, honey. Bye.
Bye. Hello, Mr. Brooks.